Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
I was thinking as we were worshiping, something that some of you may not know, from the very beginning, God gave us a scripture out of Proverbs that says, "Do your work in the field and then build your house. Make it good for yourself in the field and then build your house." And so from the very beginning, we had purpose not to build a building. We intentionally didn't even set out to or get a building because the Lord's challenge to us from the very beginning was to focus on the harvest and not worry about a building in the initial years. And for the first 11 years, we met at Vandenberg School, and I still remember very clearly praying one morning right over there in the house, which was an office then. It was our office, and no one lived there. And praying one morning, and the Lord said, "I want to give you a house. You've been faithful to do the work in the field, and I want to give you a house." And I knew what he meant. And we felt like we had the release to set out to build this building. Something else you might not know is the first time we ever came to look at this land. Where's Luke? The first time we ever came to look at this land, we came out as elders, and there was snow on the ground. We trekked through the snow back into the field, and then we met in the house. The guy let us use the house to just talk about it a little bit. And Luke had a vision of an angel of the Lord, and correct me, Luke, if I'm wrong, an angel of the Lord with a big sword, and he thrust it into the ground. And what was it? "I have come to establish it. I have come to establish it." And it was like we knew that we knew, even then, that this was the piece of land that we were supposed to buy at that time, which was a step of faith. It was a couple hundred thousand, which at that time was a big chunk for us. Included the 12 acres that included the house and all of that. So that's some of the things I remember. What do you remember? What comes to mind? Maybe even as we sang these songs, what comes to mind? And again, it doesn't matter whether you've been here a year or you were. By the way, I would like everyone to stand who was here on September 8th, not here, but Vandenberg School, our very first service, September 8th, 1991. I would like the pioneers to stand. Amen. Let's give them a hand. And there are more. There are some who couldn't be here tonight that are part of the body, but we want to honor these men and women. They paid a price. You know, there's a scripture that says, "Despise not the day of small beginnings." And we had a small beginning in many ways. And yet God continued to grow us, continued to build us, and he was faithful. But there were men and women who stood in those early years, carried a heavy load, and I want to say thank you to you all. And you know who you are, and there are some who aren't here. Some of you pioneers, what do you remember? Humorous, serious, doesn't matter. How many of you remember this? Use the mic. People would come up and start talking and think they didn't need a mic. And it's not true. You do need a mic. Because people get left out who can't hear. So I had a favorite saying, and it was, use the mic, whether you think you needed it or not. So somebody come on up and take the mic and tell me, what do you remember? I'll bring the mic to you, Burl.
I want to do a little history. It started when Pastor Bob called me one day and says, "How would you like to go look at a church?" And we drove over to Anoka and looked at this church, and it's this church. Because we got the blueprints from them and built on those blueprints. At that time, it looked like an impossible thing. Did we own this land at that time?
Yes.
We did. Okay, fine. Because I couldn't remember whether we did or not. But after a lot of prayer, the man that built that church come and visited the elders and give us a proposition. And on faith, we said, go ahead. Okay, he returned with what he needed, and he said, I need $96,000. And I thought, oh, my God. There isn't $96,000 in this place, but I want to tell you something. In a week and a half, that $96 came in, because I counted money at those days, and I know every penny that came in. And it was a miracle of miracles. Now you're looking at the building, and it took a long time to build. But I only say one thing. None of this would happen without the undergirding of Jesus Christ and God the Father.
Amen. 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 Burrell's probably one of the few that we'll bring the mic to. And Mavis.
I remember the trailer. Is this still parked out there in that house, isn't it? The red trailer? I remember every morning, whether I was leading or playing, we were here or at Vandenberg unloading the trailer, setting everything up. All this stuff got set up, taken down, and our kids were all, you know, little folks. Ethan just stepped out. He was just a little guy then. Now he plays bass for me. But, you know, just all those years of packing, setting up, taking down, setting up, taking down, setting up, taking down. That's all I can say about that.
That's what we mean by pioneering. You wouldn't. That's a level of commitment that is huge. An hour of setup before, an hour of setup after.
I have a picture of Stevie Weigel playing drums, and he couldn't have been more than 12 years old. We didn't have a drummer. Our drummer had left. And Stevie was in there playing drums, and I have a picture of that. I've got to find it. But that's awesome. It's just awesome.
What's Stevie doing
now?
Stevie's got a band. Woohoo!
Still playing drums.
I was just going to share that because
didn't mean it.
Oh, yeah. We came here shortly after 91 when we were still over at the school. And several things that I remember was when we first came here, we were searching for another church. We were going to Church Upon the Rock. And I remember Bob had said to me, did you get released? Were you with a blessing? And I said, yes, we did. We went and talked to the pastor, and he released us to come here. And the other thing that really spoke to both Dan and I was, most of you know that he did time in prison, and it was really hard for him to walk as an overcomer for a time. And when we came here, I came a Sunday before Dan because he was elsewhere at the time. And when we came the next time, I don't know if you remember, Bob, but you would come over and talk to us, and Dan had just, you know, kind of hanging his head and saying, well, I was in prison, you know, for murder, and Bob had just put his hand on Dan and had said, you are no longer a marked man. And from that time forth, Dan in particular, this has been our church, our body.
Yes, come on up.
Well,
I haven't got you, Mavis.
Just a couple of things. I remember one time when we were at Vandenberg, I think it was Kathy Veek who said, hey, Alice, there are a whole bunch of soccer uniforms. Did you tell me that, Kathy? A whole bunch of soccer uniforms in the dumpster. I can't remember, but anyway, rounded up all the kids, and I remember Jesse and Aaron and a bunch of the other boys went dumpster diving. Do you remember that, Jesse? Do you remember that? They went dumpster diving, and I spent... Yes, and I spent an entire day at the laundromat washing those, and somewhere in the mountains of Mexico, there's the best-dressed Elk River soccer team up there in the mountains, so that was good. And I want to share one more thing in so many ways. Like I said, I grew up here. I remember sitting in Bob's office when actually we were here, and I was going through the worst time of my life, and it was terrible. In fact, Bob said, man, Alice, I wish you were here to counsel yourself. So that was a bad sign right there. But I said, Bob, man, I can't read the word. I can't pray. And he looked at me, he said one word, and set me free. And he said, so? And it just was just this thing of grace that really just brought such life to me. So I appreciate that. Appreciate the leadership here and both the pastors. So.
Well, I was 3 when we first started this church, so I'm 23. And now my baby's always running around everywhere because she thinks we're here all the time, so she thinks she can just climb up on the stage on a Sunday, so that's why we're always chasing her. But I was, I remember one time at Vandenberg, someone, Bob, you were tired of seeing everyone turn around and look at the clock, and you had someone draw out the clock, and it was melted or something. So everyone was like looking, they're like, what? What time is it? And I remember one time the youth group was doing a skit, and me and Nathaniel, my brother, were being you two, and I was like, I was Marcy, and I said, oh, Bobby, don't you know that the car needs a car wash? And Nathaniel said, yes, Marcy, I know that the car is very dirty, because he would always say that when he preached. And one more thing, I remember when we went to Ukraine for the first time, Pastor Gregory was like, we were on our way to the airport, then we had a flat tire, but then he still wanted to take us out to dinner. So then we went out to this dinner the opposite way of where we were supposed to be going for the airport. And then I think we made an 8-hour drive in like maybe, yeah, 6 or 5. I think I was transported, like seriously. We were all translating. I remember looking, we were all trying to sleep, and I would look out the window, it was just like a blur. And those roads back then were just like potholes everywhere. We were just like skidding over them all. And then we got to the airport, and we had missed our flight. And, or it was already boarded, boarding was over. And there was 14 of us our first time. So we just keep coming through security, and Jim and Juanita were stuck back in the room somewhere. We didn't know where they were. And getting questioned, and she looks mysterious, obviously. And then we just start coming up to the boarding place one by one, and they're like, my mom said, well, can't you hold the plane? They're like, no way, we can't hold the plane. And then 14 of us get up there, they're like, oh, crap. So then they had to hold the plane. And so then we all got on. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to take this back to Mavis.
When I knew they were starting a church up here, I thought, oh, how convenient, because it would be 4 miles from my house to Vandenberg, and I was driving 22 miles down to Way of the Cross. But previously, when I went to Way of the Cross at the beginning, it was really agonizing for me to leave my previous church. There was so much that I wanted that they weren't teaching, but I loved the people and the pastor, and I really went through agony deciding whether to leave or not. So I didn't want to come to this church for convenience. So I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God called me to come here, and I was so grateful, and I still am 20 years later, because I know I'm here because he put me here, not because I made a decision. And another story on Bob. I think it was the second or third time I had cancer. And I was going through, I thought I was handling everything all right, but I know I must have been very angry because I had some pizza on a tray I was trying to put in a paper bag for Mandy to take to my mother. And the tray was bigger than the bag, and I was still trying to shove it in there, and the bag is ripping, and I ended up taking every individual slice of pizza and slamming it, topping down on the floor. It scared Mandy. She ran to the back bedroom. And then when I got over my temper tantrum, I went back and explained to her that I evidently had been full of anger, and it's now gone, and it has nothing to do with you or the pizza. And a couple days later, when I was a counter at that time, and Bob came in and I told him what I had done, and he says, good for you.
Well, you know, I've known this has been coming for quite a while, the 20th anniversary, and I'm going, oh, I have a really hard time just thinking about things backwards, you know. But when we were worshiping, I started remembering some things. And so these are some of the things that God brought back to my memory just a few minutes ago. When we were still in Vandenberg, and even a little bit here, we had a group of young girls that had a dance group. And they were called the Followers. And they would just, they did the most beautiful dances for God. And I still remember when, you know, they did the one, I don't remember. It's a Michael W. Smith song, and it's about heaven or something. And it was just, those girls were so beautiful, so full of grace and purity. And now I see those girls, they're grown up. And they're young moms, and they're all beautiful in God. They've grown up to be beautiful young women in the Lord. And I remember that, especially the one Christmas program they danced at. It was just like, ah. Oh. Then the teenage guys had a group that Lesnar's did called the Pyromaniacs, because they were manly, and they did awesome choreography to Christian music. And I see some of those men, young men now, and they're godly men. And it just blesses me. I remember the Doug Stanton meetings. For people who don't know, Doug Stanton is a evangelist from Australia who we helped bring to Elk River two or three different times, right? Three times. And we had meetings in town, and some went 3 months or 4 months one time.
Five
months. God touched Elk River through Doug Stanton and his message of God's love. I can't remember how many times I got blasted. And it was so good. And we were so hungry. Everybody wanted more every night. You know, it doesn't matter what. You just wanted to come up and get touched by God and get zapped, because you didn't know. You were just changed. And I think that fire for wanting God and wanting that touch of God and being on fire for him is something that's part of our church. It's part of our church. And I just love it. And then the baptism services with Doug Stanton, they were amazing. God, you know, baptism is a power event. It's not a ritual. It's power. And when I was baptized, I just, whoa, that was cool. I mean, I realized, I thought something was the matter. I just couldn't get up for about 15, 20 minutes. It was just, but it was God, and that his touch, his power. That's just some of the things I'm remembering tonight. There'll probably be more, but that's for now.
Well, when you mentioned Doug Stanton, Jeff and I met at the Doug Stanton meetings, and I walked down the aisle to the power of his love. And then we got married and went to Grand Marais. And then when we were up there, pastored a church for 8 years, 9 years, and came back to Big Lake, went to a couple different churches, went to Zion, but then it became several things, Fireside, and Jeff wanted to come over here because he wanted, and I wanted, to experience what God was doing in Elk River. And we had just heard some really powerful things, and we wanted to be a part of that. I mean, it was a important thing. We still do. And then, you knowing that what's been in Reading has come here, what's been in all the other different streams of revival, I believe has come here in various forms, through various people, through teams coming, through the different videos that have been presented. That vibration thing was way cool. And I went to Mexico. That was an awesome trip. The prayer song ministry, the different you know, the paintings and the dancing, everything. I love it. There's just, and I guess I haven't come to that. You haven't seen all that God has in me to come out. There's so much more, and there's so much more in a lot of us, and there's so much more to come. We've been resting. I just have to say that we've been resting, and hopefully that time to put our wings back on and fly is coming.
Two things. I redefined what a normal church means. I thought, you know, when you're in a really unhealthy church, you think that's normal. And when I came here, God showed me, no, pastors can get along. That's normal. And so I redefined normal, or God showed me that. And that was really significant, among many other things. And then another memory I have is when Sonny and Cher... Pastor Bob and Marcy were Sonny and Cher. But what was really amazing about this is who was Cher and who was Sonny. We won't say that.
I just got something else. I came here because God told me to come here. I was going to try a variety of churches. I had a list. And I came one Sunday to the church when it was still in town, and God said, this is where you belong, you know. And it took me a while because, not that I didn't know anybody here, but when you're in one setting and you go into a different setting, you feel unsettled, kind of. But God's love was through every one of you that was here at that time. And ever since, when I lost my husband, I don't know, you know, what I would have done without the support and the prayer from all of you, and especially the women in the church. I had a lot of support, and I still do, and I think that we try to support each other, you know.
I came to Elk River in 97, I believe, and I was tilled soil. I was whatever I used to be, which was awful, had by that time been totally tilled over. When I came here, I was at least fresh dirt, if nothing else, and nothing more than that. And when I got here, also, I mean, I came to Elk River to work at the Elk River Perkins, and I came here to just start over and start my life over and whatever. And within days of me going to the Elk River Perkins, I bumped into Marcy, whom I had known for years because she used to go to another Perkins. And I just said, well, you know, I'm looking for a church. And no lie, Marcy goes, well, you know, I do go to a church. And I said, well, you know, tell me about it. Well, you know, it's because you were in the beginning of some kind of a revival. And a lot of changes and a whole lot of people on the floor on that long, filthy blue mat. Do you remember that? We rolled out. Oh, yeah. But we rolled out this. I guess that's what it was for, is so that when you fell over, you didn't hit the hard floor. But it was blue. But her reaction, though, was like, well, you know, because she didn't want to recruit. And at the same time, she says, well, I do know this one church. And as it happens, because I was in a restaurant, I wasn't able to go to church services in the morning like normal, like I did when I was a child. And Living Waters at the time had an evening service. And honestly, really, if it hadn't been for the evening service, then I wouldn't have gotten a life. I mean, and really what I want to say standing here, and a wife, and a son, and a daughter, and on and on. But as I stand here in this room, this really is my life. And without God, you know, there's no purpose. There is no purpose in life. And I had no purpose when I came here. Like I said, I was just newly tilled soil, and I was looking for a place to be, to have things planted in me, I guess, and barely knew it. I just knew I was supposed to be here, and that's the truth. And since then, now it's been 14 years in this church, 13 years plus knowing Renee. It's our 13-year anniversary this fall, this month. But I had no life before, and now I have a purpose, so praise God.
Anyway, there was just something that I remembered that hadn't come up here, and that's when we were getting ready to build this building here. A lot of people, I think there were ministry heads and elders, and a number of people were here with a shovel, and we were turning over the dirt and offering a prayer. And I remember at that time that I had offered the prayer that this would become a house for people to meet the Lord. And I believe that that prayer came true, not because I prayed it, but because God is faithful. And I believe that is what is happening here. And I was very touched by that.
I came to this church when I was in the school, and I was still struggling with the charismatic movement, how I would fit in and that kind of stuff, if I could learn and, Well, anyway, I remember we had this great big prayer circle out in the back here. I have a way of, like, to hear me, but anyway, and the Lord showed me hills in the background. I'm always going to paint that thing, but I still haven't even started it. I got it drawn, though. People coming crippled and snarled and, just totally lost and down from these hills, and they're coming toward the church, and they go to the church, or they find a cross and they dump their stuff there. They probably stay at the church for a while and learn more so they can be stronger to go where the Lord is leading them. And then there's this river. And in the river is things of God that they learn and built on. And I thought, why is he giving this to me? Because I barely understand this, even though I've been in the charismatic movement for a little bit. But anyway, yeah. I'm still in process.
Okay, I came to the church in about 93, I think it was. I got saved when I was in college, and I was really very on fire for the Lord. And in spite of that, being the immature college student that I was, I fell into some tough times or whatever, and so after graduating, then I moved back home for a little while. And a friend of mine said, her name was Molly Morton, and she went to Way of the Cross, right? No, she went to Faith Fellowship. But anyway, she said, oh, hey, there's a church plant by Way of the Cross, and it's, at Vandenberg, and I lived a mile up the road. So she's like, hey, you want to go with me on a Sunday morning? So I said, sure. Well, then she canceled for whatever reason, I don't know. And I thought, well, I'm just going to go, And I was, during that time, it was a short period of backslidden time. So then when I came back, I was kind of like, I got to get right with God again, even when I was a little backslidden, I was still telling people, I know I'm not really setting a good example, but you gotta get right with God. So I that's always rolling around in my head. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to do it. So I went, and right away, you guys were pastoring. So right away, I felt like, okay, this church was a very similar stream to the one I was going to in Morris. And so, I felt like home right away. And the Lord didn't waste any time with me checking out a bunch of churches and trying to figure it out. He just used Molly to get me there almost right away. So I was very ministered to by Bob and Marcy and little 14-year-old Renee, who seemed like a college student to me. I was like, hit it off with her right away. And Ken and Debbie DeLong, Luke and Kathleen I think we're the foundational people that, you know, I went to a members meeting, I remember, in the basement of the bank, First National Bank. And I remember right away coming up and saying, will you be my pastor? It's like, I need this, and I know I need it. And they said yes, thankfully. So it was a good time, and I just got plugged in right away. And I remember talking to Mark Weber when we were unloading the trailer, you know, and I'm like, this is so cool. You know, it's kind of college-y-like, you know, setting up every Sunday. And I remember saying, this is so fun. And he looked at me and he said, well, it was fun the first 50 times. But I was young and full of energy and just, you know, it was fun for me, you know. So I just remember a lot of the, I don't know, just the worship and the, I liked, you know, the school setting. And I met Brian. I remember the first, I invited him to church. And I remember the first or second time he was there, there was a member of the church that felt the leading to go to a different church. And that was the first time I'd ever been in a service where they said, okay, let's pray for a blessing to let you go to a different church. And I thought, wow, that's really strange. Usually, you know, they're, why are they leaving, you know? And it was like, no, bless you, and they prayed. So that was really good. And another thing I remembered is some very powerful object lessons that, Bob, you were amazing with your object lessons. And one in particular, there was a couple. One was you had a garbage can. And I might be mixing a couple up, but you had a garbage can, and you had a glass in your hand, and I think this was the same. I might be mixing two together, but the glass kind of represented us, and you had black spray paint, and you spray painted the glass, and showed, you know, how we were, you know, that marked us as sinful, whatever, and how what God does with that sin. And you took the glass and you smashed it into the garbage can, and my brother was there too. He was like on the edge of his seat, like, wow, that's really a powerful picture of what God does with our sin. You smashed it, and then you reached in the garbage can, and you picked up this glass that was whole, and it was Jesus. And so it was powerful. So a lot of awesome memories. Also, just to say, I think this is the appropriate time to say it, but when we were worshiping, and actually when you just started saying, you know, people come up and share memories, I had a quick little picture of a house, just the whole house. And I thought, you know, a good builder would look at a house, if say he was to purchase it, and he'd look at the whole house. Somebody like me might come along and say, wow, I like the color of the paint on the walls, and, you know, oh, that's really neat how that window is there, and kind of look at the house, but nobody really looks at the foundation. And so I think this is a really refreshing meeting to look at the whole house. You know, to remember, and as a builder would look, or a prospective buyer who knows what they're looking for would look at a house, they'd say, wow, this looks really good. And then they'd look down. Let's check the foundation. How's the foundation? So I think that's what we're doing, is we're looking at the whole house tonight. It's really awesome.
One thing I remember was when I was really little at one of Alice's fundraiser, I was up on stage trying to tell a joke, and I got really nervous, so I'd have my mom finish it. And I also remember having my parents' wedding here. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking about scripture the other day that train a child up in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. And someone wrote a book, and they said a better rendering of that is, create an atmosphere for growth where a child can grow, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And I feel like, come on, I feel like through the years, you know, I was a worship leader at Way of the Cross for 15 years, then they asked me to come up here, and I signed on for 6 months. Now it's 20 months, 20 years later. And I just want to tell you about the, you know, I can't divulge everything that's happened to me here, but let's just say I walked through some really dark days, and I can't begin to tell you the grace that was extended to me from the leadership here. The foundations in my life have been really rebuilt here, I think. People mentioned things that Bob would say that were totally unorthodox. I had a real anger issue, and I remember one time him saying, God can handle your anger, but I don't know if you can. So true. There's so many things he said that were like little nuggets that were, yeah. I mean, there was a nugget of grace. All of you have probably had times, and it's continued on with Dave, but there's an atmosphere of grace here for growth that is really rare, really rare. I mean, some of the things I walked in, if they would have made, it would be normal to, you're out. You can't be here anymore. Okay? Enough said about that, but just to say that there is a level of grace in this house, and it's not greasy grace, but it's a grace that is genuine, and it changes lives. And you know, I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in lives around me. We've gone through some weird stuff, but there has always been, right from the very top, there's always been an extension of grace, and it's been carrying on all through the body with people who do counseling here and many of you have experienced it, I'm sure. I've never felt condemnation in this house. Never. But
when she mentioned colorful illustrations, the Lord gave me an illustration of something, and just a few weeks later, it was a very similar illustration in a sermon. And I may get the two things mixed up, I don't know, but the topic of the sermon was, I think it was like staying pure, keeping your mind pure. And we might say, well, the movie was pretty good, there were just a couple bad parts. But otherwise it was good. The plot was good, the characters were good. If you just ignore the bad parts. Or the same with a book, or music. You know, ignore the bad parts, the rest of it's okay, so we can watch that movie or read that book. And the illustration I got from the Lord before that was a plate of food, meat, mashed potatoes, a vegetable, and just a tablespoonful of garbage on the side by the vegetables. And, you know, 90% of the plate is good, but would we eat it if it had that little bit of garbage on the edge? And the illustration Bob had was a spoonful of herring ruins the ice cream.
I think he actually had ice cream with herring on it.
I was just going to say that Living Waters Church is built on a church built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and donuts. And I just remember that really when we were in Vandenberg, I mean, donuts were just this huge part of Sunday morning. And our kids were kind of young, and I just remember all the new rules and regulations about every couple months having to do with the donuts, because, of course, the boys would go in, and they'd be on their third one before, you know, the young kids, our boys. And Ron Deutschman was kind of the appointed head of the donut table, and they always would come home and call him Herr Deutschman, because he would be the one that would set the rules, and man, he was on those rules. There was no flexibility, boy. If you had one donut, that was it. He almost would stamp your hand to make sure. But anyhow, one of the funny things I remember backstage about donuts is they were always come in early on Sunday, and they'd be in the back room. And I remember one time being back there during the service with Ken DeLong, and a couple of us were in there for some reason. But there was some gal who had come. We'd never seen her before, but it was kind of one of those, okay, there are situations in life in church you don't quite know how to handle it. You know, God, what's your wisdom? But this gal about in her 20s, and she was going around, and she was going like this on the donuts, because we had lots of frosted ones, and then she'd lick it, and then she'd go to the next one. And I remember Ken and I, and there was a couple of us in there, we're kind of looking at each other like, because they had to go out after church, and everybody was going to eat them, you know. We were like, what do we do here? You know, we didn't want to offend her. And she was just, and I think Ken tried to stop her and just be really nice about it, and she was just kind of like, and she just kept going along. And I think she must have licked about eight of them before finally I think he had the guts to kind of somehow get her off. But anyhow, donuts were a big part of Living Waters.
my story is kind of a funny one about the funny way God works. What was the year that you guys had the flood and the carpet was ripped up back there? 2003. Tammy and I first visited this church in 2003. We had just come through a long experience of being involved in children's ministry, and believe me, we were tired. I mean, it was just, we were tired, we needed a break, and da-da-da. When we moved to Elk River, and our last church after we had left it, we visited like three churches. This was, I believe, the third one that we visited right away. And every one of those churches, as we walked in, we sat down, every pastor got up in the pulpit and said, we need a children's pastor. So that morning, you know, it's like, at this, we're going, we need a break. And so it's like, every time that happened, Tammy looked at me and we go, we're out of here. But you know what's funny about that is because every time I heard that, because of what's inside of me, something jumps. You know, it's like, you feel it, you know, it's like it's there. And so we came in, and it was a morning, and I don't know who was preaching that morning, but the carpet was all ripped up back there, and this place was packed, and we sat in that back corner, and Bob sat up here, or stood up here, and he said, we need a children's pastor. And Tammy looked at me and said, I don't think so. We just walked back out that door. But again, something jumped in there. Visited another place, and then we came, ended up back here because of some other things that we did in the community that got us back here again. And it's just, I just think it's awesome the way God works. I mean, it's like whether you try or how hard you try not to, he puts you where he wants you. And I just love and appreciate the support and the grace and the freedom that we have in this body. Because, you know, I mean, this past 3 months that I've been able to just set aside and listen again, I know I'm not done. I know I need to do more. And it's like, so, you know, that thing's still there. And I don't think it ever is going to go away. That fire's still there. So, but yeah, I just think it's a great experience. So, thanks.
I came to Living Waters the first service that it was an autonomous church. So it was 1994. And I remember it was over in Van Berg, and Susie and I walked in with our six kids and basically doubled the size of the congregation. It was pretty fun, but I remember Burl and Mary were the first ones to come up afterwards and shake our hands and say, hi, how are you doing? And but I remember the thing that really stuck out to me was the message of freedom and grace. I think Bob mentioned about three things that Sunday that just really hit me. One of them was, he says, I don't have a clue what the who gives what in the offering. And I thought, whoa, that's a novel idea, that a pastor doesn't need to know, you know, what everybody's giving. And he said something else about, you know, people are free to go, they're free to come, and just some things that just really stirred freedom in my heart. And I remember where I was at on the way home in our car, you know, when the Lord spoke to my heart and said, this is where I'm planting you for a season. Watch and see what I do. Still haven't figured out what a season is, but but, you know, when and that first day, Susie and I were sitting there with our kids, and Rachel was 3 years old, and she says, there's Sandy and Riney. And Susie says, come on, sit down, turn around, behave yourself. No, there's Sandy and Ryan. Can I go sit with Sandy and Ryan? So Rachel got up and went and sat. But one of the funny things that I remembered was, so Rachel was 3 and Sarah was 7. And poor Bob, you know, you got a family coming in with 6 kids, and any good pastor tries to remember all the kids' names. I gave up on that a long time ago. But so Bob's trying to get Sarah and Rachel figured out, and they caught on to this, so they changed their names every Sunday. And so he just finally started, he caught on to that, so he just started calling them both Sachel. Yeah, probably one of the most colorful sermons that I remember Bob preaching was, I think you were talking on sanctification, and, you know, set aside, set apart. And Bob was demonstrating that, so he brought up the communion plate. And, you know, nice, clean communion plate. And he's talking about how that's sanctified. It's set aside for a purpose. And it's holy for that purpose. And so he went and dug into his bag of tricks like he, you know, was known to do. And he pulled out a can of Alpo. And he starts opening this can of dog food. And he says, now, what would you think if I poured this into this sanctified, you know, container? And, of course, he did it. And everybody's going, but, of course, the demonstration was that's, you know, we're sanctified. We're set aside. We are holy. And what kind of dog food are we pouring into our lives? But that's one that just has always stuck with me. And really, the freedom and the grace, though, that really, you know, a lot of the things that I preach and I teach now are really as a result of the things, the influence that Bob and Marcy have had on my life and that this house has had on my life. And so as I've watched and seen what God has done, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I've seen how in a lot of the ugly we've worked through it with grace and dignity and with honor. And, you know, just it was done differently here than other places that I'd been involved in. And so I just am so appreciative.
Memory I have is like, it was probably like 2 or 3 years ago. I don't remember. I'm really bad with that stuff. But I remember I went through maybe a month where every Sunday, I remember I'd grab a piece of paper and I'd write a song. During worship, I'd be like, I want to write a song. So I'd write a song. And Kathy, I remember every Sunday I'd come into the office and, can I make a copy of my song? And then someone would ask, hey, can I have a copy of your song? So I'd reluctantly hand them the copy, and then I'd go back to the office. Hey, Kathy, can I have another copy of my song? So it was just a really fun thing. Every week, I just have another song. Hey, Kathy, can I have a copy of my song? So that was a fun memory.
I just want to tell a quick Kathy story, too. She went to Mexico with us on a mission trip, and we were walking across like this open sewage, and it was dark. And she, it's great to take an administrator on your mission trip. I said, man, I wish we had a flashlight. So she digs in her bag, and she pulls out a flashlight, and we go right across. So it's nice to have an administrator on a trip.
I forgot something kind of important. Is Bob and Ken DeLong noticed that I was in need of a man in my life. And so they took it upon themselves to pray Brian into my life. So thanks for that.
I just wanted to say, you know, the congregation has gone through a lot of changes. And some of them are subtle and some are a little more blunt. And when Pastor Bob stepped down as senior pastor 3-4 years ago, whatever it was, I kind of had a connection with him. If he knew it or not, I had a connection with him. He's the one that asked me if I wanted to ask Christ in my life. And there was a connection. There was a love that I had for him and admiration. And Pastor Dave stood in every once in a while, and he preached. And I didn't get a whole lot out of Dave's preaching. Just, it's the truth, I didn't. And then we heard a rumor that Pastor Dave's going to take over. And the devil kind of came against me and was saying, oh, you know, blah, 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 you know. And God said, He spoke to me and he just told me that your heart is in the wrong place. And ever since. Now, I've known Dave, you know, he's been married to my wife a lot of years, to my sister, okay? And so he's been married a lot of years to her. So I knew him a lot of years before I come to Christ, and I've always loved him. He's a good guy. He has a good heart. He loves unconditionally. But to be my pastor was something a little different in here. And so when God told me I had to check my heart out and see where I was at, then he opened up the word of God to me in a whole nother way through Dave's preaching. It's totally different than Bob's preaching, but it's a way that speaks to me and is implanted, kind of. Pastor Bob loved and showed in actions, kind of, and Dave, God has used Dave for me in word and in implantment of the word into my heart. And so I'm thankful for God that he showed me that Pastor Dave ain't Pastor Bob, but God uses them both in a different way. And I need both. And so I just wanted to say to both pastors that you guys are both very important to me. And of course, you're a big part of the body here. But it's just, I just can't believe that God has given me pastors like you guys to be in my life. That I know he's a good God, but you get in that point about deserving and something tries to come against you. And I just thank God that he thinks I'm deserving enough to have pastors like you guys.
I just had a memory of you guys. This was before you were a pastor, and you were just sharing earlier of how Bob really showed you the grace of God and not judging it. And I can really see where that has gone over upon you, because this was way back. I don't even know if you remember, but we needed to have a vanity in our bathroom. Remember that? And somehow we got connected with you. I mean, we were already in church here, and so you came and you installed the vanity in our bathroom. And I remember my mother was over that day, and she said, "Who is that young man?" And I said, "Well, he's, you know, a member of our church." And she said, "He's really a nice man." And this was before you were the pastor, obviously. And then there was another time when we first came to the church. The thing that spoke to me was, and I think it's still a part of you, is you invited us over for dinner. And I always remember that, too. They didn't even know us, and here we were having dinner at your house. It was that hospitality that also spoke to us.
Amen. Amen. Well, I think we're going to move on, unless someone's got something just burning that Mavis does.
This isn't about either pastor. While we were still at Vandenberg, we had Dave Reed from Way of the Cross come as a guest speaker. And Dave had been a missionary with his wife and four kids in Tanzania for a number of years. And there was something about legal permits or passports, I don't remember the details, but he was put in jail in Tanzania. And he was going to tell about what that was like and how God saw him through that. So he asked the congregation, "Have any of you been in jail or prison?" And at least 12 hands went up. And he said, "No, you've misunderstood. I don't mean have you ever visited anybody in prison. Have you ever been incarcerated in prison?" And the same hands went up again. At that time, we had a number of people from church who were involved in Network for Life, which was, I think, a ministry to people that were coming out of prison to help get them on their feet and keep them on the right road. And so at that time, we had a number of people who had been incarcerated. And I kept thinking, what a privilege to go to church with these people who have allowed God to change them so much. because most of them had valid reasons for doing what they did. And yet they turned their lives over to God. They let God work through them. They let him change their whole lives. And I was privileged to go to church with all these people who had a lot more courage than I did.
Amen. I would like one last thing that we want to do. I don't know if we'll get to do this tomorrow, but I would like everyone to stand that's been involved in planning this whole weekend, not just tonight, but tonight and tomorrow. Who? Kathy? Where's Bonnie? And they may know. Who else? Ah, Mandy. Yes, Casey's going to be, going to have an awesome meal tomorrow. These two. Let's give them a hand. They have worked hard on this. Amen. Well, we're going to have a time of fellowship in the fellowship hall. There's cake and I don't know what all. Coffee, I'm sure. Right, Dwayne? Yeah, sure, you betcha. Well, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the privilege. See, the reality is, I want to talk to you before I talk to God. The reality is that the reason we revisit the faithfulness of God in the past is because it gives us faith and hope for the future. Because the same God that has been faithful over these past 20 years will be faithful for the next 20. In fact, there's even an acceleration and a momentum that builds as we learn the faithfulness of God and as we see it. So that's the purpose in it. It's not oh, we got an escapee. So, Father, we just thank you that we can look forward to the future because of your faithfulness of the past. We thank you that you will be the same God. We'll have the same stories and more in the days, months, years to come, and we thank you for it. We, again, honor you. We celebrate you and your faithfulness. We thank you. Father, we ask you to bless the food that we're going to share together, and we thank you. Bless every person here and those who could not be here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.